2 Peter chapter 3, one verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to bring a message, say, roadblocks to hell. Roadblocks. God puts up some roadblocks to try to stop people from going to hell. And I want to try to share a few things with you. Maybe you could put them in your heart. Maybe you could warn others about those things that God puts in front of them when you're working, when you're out visiting with people. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Appreciate all the good singing. Man, the ladies just hit it out of the ballpark, and Annie and Brother Mark, boy, just this church is so blessed with people that can sing. It's amazing. I'm just amazed at the talent in this church. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to give you one verse here. I want you to look at the words real close as I read them. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord. Look at that last part. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. How many does God want to perish? None. So if someone goes to hell, is it God's fault? They actually, when people go to hell, they go to hell against God's will. Because it says that not willing that God's will is that all people be saved. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Heavenly Father, it's been maybe a few months since you had me write this message up. I just felt impressed I had to preach it this week. Help me to do your work. And Lord, you know what to do with this message so it can be used for your glory. Help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. And I pray this message go beyond this morning. I pray to reach out to many in the future. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want us to look at this verse this morning and see what God's really telling us. If you'll note that in that verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. In other words, God means what he says. He's not slack. When God says something, he means it. I remember my dad, when my dad used to tell me things, he meant it. My dad was a stickler about keeping his word. Well, God's like the old timers. When he says it, it's finished. He means it. God means what he says and says what he means. God promises, by the way, God's promises are true and they're sure. You can take them to the bank. Well, the question is, what does God promise? What is this promise that God's not slack about? God promises everlasting life, a home in heaven, sins forgiven for all who believe. That's what his promise is about. Amen? Here's a question. How many want to live forever? How many ever want to live forever? Well, God promises for all those that want to live forever in heaven with him, all they got to do is trust him as Savior, and he promises he'll save you and give you everlasting life. That's a pretty good promise. Now, listen to me. Titus 1:2, Pastor David mentioned it this morning. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God promised, he cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Titus 1:2, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I could stay here for the next 40 minutes and quote you promises of God about everlasting life, eternal life, salvation through Christ only. I'm going to tell you right now, God promises everlasting life. Can anyone say amen? Matthew 25:41 tells us, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, God openly states that there is a real hell. Matthew 25:11 states that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. I mentioned that. By the way, the devil is going to that place of everlasting torment. Did you know that? The devil, you know, a lot of people mock hell, but the devil don't mock it because he knows there's a hell. The devil's going to that place of everlasting. I want you to take, you're already in 2 Peter. Just turn back a little, to the back of your Bible. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. I know what's going to happen. I know what our future is, Brother Bobby, because I read the back of the book. How many of you have ever got a book and couldn't wait to find out what happens at the end? So you just you jump 5-6 chapters and you say, I'm just going to read the end, then I'm going to go back and read through it. I just can't wait to tell you what's going to... Well, Billy, I know what's going to happen at the end because I read the back of the book. Amen, Miss Ruth? Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm going to tell you right now, old Mr. Slewfoot one day is going to the fire. Now, he's going to take a lot of people with him, but it's not God's will that he takes people with him. Christ done everything he could to stop people from going to this place. Hell was not prepared for people. Hell was prepared, I told you in Matthew 25:41, for the devil and his fallen angels. But those that don't trust Christ and refuse the grace of God, they're going to have to go to that place. Now, by the way, note in verse 11 through 15, not only is the devil going to hell, but those that refuse God's eternal life through Christ, look what they can look forward to. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth fled and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You can't run from God. There'll be a day when you stand before God. You can't run from God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death, by the way, you know what the work is that gets you to heaven? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in John, they said, what's the work we can do to get to heaven? John 6:28. He said, believe on him that sent me. And death, look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, over 40 years ago, I got down from an old green couch. I recognized I was a lost sinner going to hell. And I asked Christ to save my soul. Pam, poop, pop, poop, zip, zap, poop, Batman. And Christ saved me. The Holy Spirit came into me. Sealed me until the day of redemption. And not only that, my name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. By the way, if you don't get saved, your name ain't written. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, if your name's not written in the book of life, you're not going to heaven. The only way you get it, you must be born again. So listen to me. Listen, thousands of years ago, God kicked Satan out of heaven. And Satan knows his time's short. While you're in Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Look at Revelation 12, verse 7. And this happened thousands of years ago. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and the angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out on the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in the heaven now has come salvation and strength in our kingdom, our God, and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And verse 11, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You want to overcome Satan, you got to get the blood applied to him. That blood was shed at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell, look at verse 12. Rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'm going to tell you right now, Satan knows time's running out. That's why he's doing all he can to destroy people's lives, destroy your lives, destroy your family's lives, try to damn people's souls. I'm going to tell you, watch out for Satan. He's out to destroy you. He's already lost. He knows he's doomed. He wants to take as many with him. I hope you don't let Satan do that to you. Amen? And notice, the Lord does not want anyone to go to hell with the devil and his fallen angels. Remember 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. Yes, some people laugh about God's. Oh, preacher, don't tell me about that Bible. Don't tell me about those promises. I've heard it all my life. Okay. But God is long-suffering. Boy, we're lucky God's long-suffering. If God would do us right, he'd just kill all of us at one time when he messed with us. We're so fortunate that God's long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Listen, if anyone goes to hell, it's not God's fault. If you die and go to hell, you went to hell against God's will. And it's because it's not his will that he should perish. Now listen to me. Even when Jesus was on earth, he gave warnings about hell. In Luke 13:3, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. In Luke 16:23, talking about the rich man and the beggar, he's spoken about the rich man. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, trying to warn people that they needed to be saved from a literal place called hell. Now listen to me. There is a literal place called hell. We don't like to think about it. People don't like it when you preach about it. But there is a literal place about hell. And preachers and teachers, you don't need to do it every Sunday, but you need to keep this truth in front of people. That's the trouble with America. They forgot there's a judgment. They forgot there's a God that's going to judge. And now they live like devils because they aren't afraid of judgment. But there is a hell, and there is going to be a judgment day. Now listen to me. Get this. Now, I know people laugh about hell, but hell's not a laughing matter. People make jokes up about hell, but there ain't no joking about hell. It's real. People talk about going to parties in hell. I used to, oh, yeah, we're all going to go down. We're all going to have a big, they say, preacher, don't worry, we're all going to meet down in hell together and have a big booze party. No, you're not. There's not no parties in hell. The Bible says there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. People use the word hell as a place to tell people to go to. I'm amazed if they don't believe in this. Why are they always telling people to go there? Did you ever think about that? And the atheist says there's no God, but they're always saying God this and God that. If you don't exist, then why are you bringing them up? You ever wonder how stupid people really are? I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot to send someone to hell. They got to go through a lot. Now listen, hell is no laughing matter. There are no parties going to go on in hell. And all there is screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:42 says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And by the way, we ought to get that down in our souls so we'd witness to our families so they don't go to that place. So for the record, God does warn people about hell. There really is a burning hell. There's a hell that awaits people from turning away from God's love and grace. Listen, God also goes on to say that he does not want anyone to perish. God opens up heaven to all people. Aren't you glad? The whole world, God opens up. I don't care what planet, I don't care what country you're in. I don't care what nationality you are. God wants, he died for all people. For God so loved the world. No one excluded. Sometimes we Americans think that God only loves us. He don't love the Russians. He don't love the Chinese. I'm going to tell you something. God loves all people. He died for all. You know, we set out roadblocks to stop and warn people on oncoming danger. One of the bridges has got some faulty girders and stuff. We put out roadblocks. Watch out, danger, danger. How many know what I'm talking about? And, you know, God has put some roadblocks to stop people from being destroyed. Bobby, would you and young man, Colton, I know, grab one of these. God puts out bring those right down here, fellas. real quickly, I'm going to give you some four little thoughts here. Put it right here, son. Bobby, you put yours. Yeah, thank you. Well, that's not. Why isn't that open? That's good enough. Why ain't that opening, Bobby? See if you can get that open, Bob. Thank you. Well, that stuff is filthy. Thank you. Woo. You know, years ago, a man that used to come to this church, Brother Walker, Richard Walker, we were over in Brimfield, and he bought those for the church. And some guy kept, he was trying to get them for the church. There was three or I don't know how many there was. And it irritated them because somebody kept bidding against them. He said, no, I'm buying those for God. I don't care. He paid a lot of money for them too, but he said, preacher, I wasn't going to let no one outbid me. I'm determined to get, now we've had these for 10, 15 years. And I've never used them for an illustration, but I'm using them today. We use them for the VBS all the time. But these are what we call roadblocks. Amen? How many would say that would be like a good roadblock? And just like we set out roadblocks, so people will vary from diverse from where they're going so they won't be in danger, God puts out things like that. And God has put roadblocks to prevent people from crashing into hell. God's put roadblocks to divert people to change their course so they won't suffer the agonies of hell. I'm going to tell you right now, God's got roadblocks. He don't want anyone to go to hell. And I hope after I get done preaching, every one of us will be convicted, and so much more that we would witness more to try to stop people from going to hell. Listen, every day man is heading headlong into the fires of hell. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Every day thousands and thousands of people are dying, and most of them are dying without Christ, and they're plunging into hell. And if you don't know Christ your Savior, you're going into hell. Isaiah 14:9 says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead. Isaiah 14:15, yes, there shall, thou shalt be brought down to the sides of the pit. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a hell. Right now, it's in the heart of the earth called torment. One day, it's going to be a ball of fire. Can anyone say amen? Now, let me give you just a few roadblocks that God has put so people don't end up in that pits of hell. Number one, is I put down four of them. There could be lots more, but I just put four. First roadblock I believe that God put for so people don't go to hell, and you that are in Romans class will know the first two. God has two preachers that he gave us. Number one, the first roadblock that God's put so people don't go to hell, you're born with a God conscience. You're born with a God conscience that God is. I'll quote you scripture in just a you don't have to tell a little kid there's a God. They look up and they say, where's God at? Where is he? He's born. Those babies are born with a God. Every person that's ever been born, every one of you were born with a God conscience that God is. I'll quote you some scripture. John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God's got like a little dome light, a conscience, a light that tells you that God is. That's why Matthew 6:23 says, if therefore the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? See, God gives everyone light. They're born with light inside them. And if you don't resist that light, God will give you more. Isn't it amazing? Jesus was called the light of the world. And if you just keep coming onto him, he'll bring you more light until you come to the light of Christ. Amen? Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. That's that God conscience that you're born with, that light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Romans 2:15 says, which showeth the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So every person that's born, that's why every person has, I don't care where they're born. I don't care what country. I don't care if they're born in a jungle. I don't care if they're born in Siberia, in a desert. Every person that's born, they have a chance to be saved. Every person that's ever been born has a chance to be saved because they're born with a God conscience that God is. There's a God. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first roadblock God gives is it's actually put in every person that's born the moment they're born. They're born with a God conscience that God is. Number two, the second roadblock God puts up, he puts is the creation. The creation itself tells you there's a God. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can look up and see all those stars and say this just happened by accident, you got a problem. I remember as a young kid preacher, Coolidge, driving through the Smoky Mountains. I was scheduled to preach in Tennessee, and I did preach down there, Alvor Spring, Tennessee. But I remember I was just a city slicker, never got out of the city of Toledo. And when I went, I saw those mountains and the Smoky Mountains and stuff. I said, oh, my lands. I was so overwhelmed with those mountains. I told Rosie, "They're just these mountains tell you there's a creator. I'm going to tell you, thinking about the way the earth spins on its axis, and it's held up by nothing. The Bible says we're wonderfully, marvelously made. Listen to me. Your body is so complex, it's unbelievable. But and you think it just happened by accident? I'm going to tell you, an atheist really has to work hard. I mean, when... Brother Jesse, can you imagine those bird brains down there in over there in Kent State University's professors? They're saying that that people happened by an accident, that like we were like a little amoeba or something, and then it grew a tail and it grew and then it swam and then it got a couple little legs and crawled out, and started walking on the earth. Then it grew some arms and it was hanging from a tree. And people believe that? I've got a bridge I want to sell you over in New York. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Marty, for people to say there's no God and to believe the lie of evolution and all the other lies against creation, you're fighting. You're fighting that light that God is, and you're fighting the creation itself. I'm going to tell you right now, just the creation says there's a God. How many of you just look, some days, a big starry night, just look and say, look at all those thousands and thousands and thousands of stars. How many of you ever done that? Look at the stars. Do you know the Bible says that God has named every one of those? They're innumerable, and he's put a name on every one of them, those stars. I'm going to tell you, so God's got a roadblock of, a God conscience. That God. That's why when people do something bad, they think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. How many of you say, oh, no one hit you, but you, inside you say, oh, I feel bad. How many know what I'm talking about? Why did I say that? Or why did I do that? I love my wife. Why did I yell at her just now? It makes you, and you're feeling bad. You're really feeling bad because she jacked your jaw. Talk to Eddie White. He'll tell you. He's double mad. He's got pain on the outside and pain on the inside. Look up here. Do you ever hear a statement? You say, some people, like they burn their children or they put them in a microwave or, you know, they do, and you'd say, how could anyone do? They have a seared conscience. Or a preacher like me would get up and preach and preach and preach, and they walk out and they say, I don't care what that guy says. They're like Pharaoh. They hardened their heart. And what happens is this. How many know what a dimmer switch is on a light? You know, you either turn it one way and it goes up, or you turn it the other way and it goes down. When people keep saying, no, no, there is no God. No, I'm not going to believe the Bible. I don't care what they preach. I don't care about what the creations tell me. I don't care about my conscience. No, no, no. What happens? That light goes down, down, down. And eventually it goes, what Matthew 6:23 says, if that light that be in thee be darkened, how great is it? Because no matter what you say, they become a reprobate mind. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't say no to God. By the way, you got to teach this to young people. The young people, it's so important that you don't say no to God when you're young, because I'm going to tell you, you keep saying no to God, eventually God will just say, okay, that's it for you, pal. You're going to be like one of them. You adults better listen to me. God speaks to you about something, you ought to do it. And what's happened, we've got a country here that used to say yes to God, but now they're saying no. And they've said it so much now that they've taken God out of our schools. They've taken prayer out of our schools. They've taken trying to take God out of our Constitution. But this country was founded on the Lord. And you can see people's hearts being seared and seared. No wonder there's so many atheists, because they've turned their cheek against God. Can anyone say amen or oh me? No wonder the Bible says, Brother Coolidge, in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because he suppressed those first two preachers, that roadblocks that God gave. God gave a roadblock of God conscience. We were born with it. And then he gave up the creation. You can't get away from it. God's all around. You can't. I don't care where you go. Say, I'll go underneath the sea. Well, look what he created underneath there. Wow. Holy mackerel. I'm going to tell you, you can't get away from God. And what people do, they say, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to take God. See, you don't become an atheist overnight. You work on being an atheist. You keep saying no, no to God's creation, and no to that God conscience that God is. And you tear down those first two roadblocks. Let me give you the third roadblock, because God has more roadblocks besides those. I believe the third roadblock, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, history records the birth of Christ. Did you know the whole world, every year, I don't know what day Christ was born on. I'm just glad he was born. Brother Jesse, in my heart, I don't believe Jesus was born on December 25th, but I'm going to celebrate it till he comes, because I know he was born, and the reason he was born for one reason, to die for me, to die for you. At Christmas, we always put the cards out. You're the reason for the season. He came because of you and I. Why? Because 33 years later, after his birth, he went outside of Jerusalem and at a place called the Skull, Golgotha Hill, Calvary. And there Jesus Christ died and suffered from 9 a.m. in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 6 hours he hung between heaven and earth, and he took all the sins of mankind so God could redeem us. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a roadblock. A lot of people try to blot out Calvary. They try to blot out. They're trying to take away the nativity scenes. Yeah, they're trying to take away the Christmas program. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a roadblock. Listen, you can't grow up not knowing about Christ. Christ is there. Amen? History proves that he was born. Of course, we know for a fact that he was not only was he born, but he died and he rose that third day. And he's risen in heaven right now. Can anyone say amen? Listen, I've noted this. Jesus dying on Calvary's cross for our sins of mankind is a major roadblock that you have to go through. You gotta say no to Calvary. You gotta say no to your God conscience. You gotta say no to the creation. You gotta say no to Calvary. Because Calvary stands out. Every time you see a cross, you think of Calvary. Amen? Calvary's a major roadblock. Christ was born to die for you and my sins. Listen, Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's another roadblock. You got people. You know, listen, when people go to hell, they've knocked down a lot of roadblocks. Then the last roadblock, I believe, was the Holy Bible. God has given us the perfect Bible that brings us to Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let me read that again. And that from a child, 2 Timothy 2:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. See, this is a holy Bible. It's God-breathed. It's given by God. It's holy. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's why people, they want different Bibles. They want to have a counterfeit so people won't get saved. But this is the real thing, honey. I got the real one. One God gave us. Now listen to me. So God's given us all kinds of roadblocks. God's put Calvary there. And God's put God conscience. God's put creation. And God's put Calvary, and then he put the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to tell you right now, people don't have an excuse. I'm going to read something to you. So people go to hell, they have no excuse. If people go to hell, they have no excuse because God put all kinds of roadblocks out. And he covered the world with the roadblocks. There's no part of the world that didn't get the roadblocks from God. No excuses, because they've completely knocked down and resisted every roadblock God put up to stop them from everlasting damnation. Put up to stop them from being destroyed. Look up here, I'm almost done. They said no to God's conscience. I don't care what God says, no. They said no to God's creation. No, we just happened here by accident. You're a fool. If you believe you got here by accident, you're a fool. Because the Bible says only a fool says in his heart there's no God. And the creation says there is a God. They said no to God's conscience. They said no to God's creation. They said no to Calvary. After God gave all himself for you, so you could have all of him and be saved forever and go to a place called heaven. Escape the judgment of hell. And then they said no to God's holy word. Preacher, I don't want nothing to do with your Bible. I don't want nothing to do with that Bible. Just get your Bible away from me. You Bible thumpers, I'm sick of you Bible. You fundamental Baptists, I'm sick of you fundamental Baptist preachers. When you're talking about sodomites and hell and heaven and drugs and alcohol, I'm so sick of you guys telling me how I got to live. I ain't telling you nothing. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You live what you want to live. I'll let God be the judge of that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. He said no to God's creation, no to God's conscience, and no to God's Calvary, and no to God's holy scriptures. And God's word says in Romans 3:19 that they're all guilty. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I can see people standing before God. I read to you over there in Revelation. Whosoever's not found written in the book of life. They're going to say, no! No, God! Remember me? My daddy was a preacher. I taught a Sunday school class, or I was a deacon, or this and that. Or God say, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Stop your mouth. You didn't take my Christ. You didn't receive my son. You rejected my love. Scripture says over in Matthew 7, he said, depart from me. I never knew you. There'll be people saying, well, God, I didn't have a chance. I was born on the other side of tracks. I was poor. God says, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. No, you had the God conscience. You were born with the conscience that God is. You saw the creation. You knew about Calvary. You had the Bible was printed for all people. You had an opportunity. You said no to me. Well, God, I was born in a rich family, and I never had to be like the rich, so I was too rich. I didn't understand. No, you understood. You made money your God instead of me. And God said, that's it. You've knocked down all my roadblocks. And so now you depart from me into everlasting fire. I want to ask you these questions in closing. Have you seen God's roadblocks for you? Have you seen God's roadblocks for you? If you have, you're saved. I hope you are. I seen him, and I said, God, save my soul. I realized I was going to hell. I said, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't know if anybody's got in mind wants to go to hell. Hello? Would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior today and escape hell's fire? Well, we could take you down here and show you. You can say, boy, I'm glad I listened to those roadblocks. You say, and I'm all done with this. I thought about that Luke 16, Brother Coolidge. Because people say to you, God gave that, and then, by the way, it wasn't a parable, it was a true story. The rich man, and God so great, got such great grace that he didn't mention the man's name. Yet he gave the one who went to heaven, he did mention their name. The rich man, and they cried out, he said, I've got five brothers that's still alive. Let me come out and tell them. He said, they'd believe it if one came out of hell and told them. But if you read Luke 16:31, God said, if they won't listen to the Moses and the prophets, they won't listen. They would not believe even if one came out of hell. In other words, if you're not going to believe me today, what I told you from God's holy word, it wouldn't matter if I could resurrect someone that's in hell right now and they would cry out to you, it's real, and you could smell the smoke off of them, you still wouldn't believe them, because the Bible says if you don't take the word of God, you're not going to take someone that's really there. By the way, you can tell the Jehovah's Witnesses say there's no hell, but there's no unbelievers in hell. They're all believers. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm all done. I didn't yell or scream or nothing. I'm trying to tell you that there really is a hell. God's flashing the flashers. You're only one heartbeat. Listen to me, if you're not saved, you're only one heartbeat from going to hell. What separates a man from heaven to hell? From dying and living? Just one heartbeat. God's flashing. He's trying to get your attention today. If you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to come. Don't have to worry before Mark. Mark, going up there and get ready to sing a song. But you could come before even Mark starts singing. I wouldn't wait. I'd get saved today. And some of you, you got lost friend, lost family. I hope you don't wait like I did till it was the last minute and watch your family that you love go to die without Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of family and friends, and we never witnessed to them. And even though God's got these roadblocks, and we know it because we got saved ourselves, we don't warn the people, and they're dying every day, and hell's enlarging, and people are dying, and once they die, there's no pulling them out. I've went to the gravesite of some of my family and got down and cried and said, I'm sorry that I didn't warn you with tears when you were alive. Don't you tell me about hell It's real. And God's got roadblocks. He's trying to tell you, come before it's too late. Watch this. When your life ends, the roadblocks are no longer enforced. You have no hope. Once you die, your fate is sealed forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice and they've never been saved, I pray today the Holy Spirit of God would let them see their lost condition and let them know there really is a burning hell and Christ came just to save them from it. And they need the grace of God to save them. Not good works, not being a good person, not water baptism. Faith in the Son of the living God that died and arose for them, that shed his blood for their sins, that promises he's not slack, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I pray they won't laugh the promise off today. I pray that people here will see that your promise is sure and you mean what you say and you say what you mean. Help us today, Father, to get a conviction to warn the lost before it's everlasting too late. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say with an uplifted hand, and don't raise unless you really know. You could raise your hand to God and say, I know that there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I asked Christ to save my soul from hell. Preacher, there was a day I really got saved. I asked Christ to save me, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm 100% sure. I'm 100% sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would say, be honest with yourself and honest with God? And I won't come to you. I promise. I won't embarrass you. But you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Let me see that hand. I'll pray for you. Just raise and say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight in all this building? Not one hand in this building? Are you sure you're sure? You can't make a mistake about eternity. Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. It's no hope so. I'm hoping I make it. No, you must be born again to make it. I'm going to say one more thing. We're going to pray. We're going to have an invitation. How many Christians would say, pastor, I'll be honest with you, and don't raise your hand unless you really mean this. Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I know there is a hell, and I've got friends that are lost and family that are lost, and I really haven't witnessed to them lately. If they died and go to hell right now, their blood might be on my hands. Pray for me that I'd get conviction. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. You know, maybe it ought to be today. We ought to get down to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, break our hearts for souls. Because it's too late after they die. We ought to get a fervent conviction over their soul now while there still can be a chance for them to be saved. Ask God to break your heart and fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can witness to them, that he would give you wisdom what to say and how to say it, or write a letter or call him on the phone. I witnessed to a man this week. He didn't come today. I'm going to keep trying. I called him at 9 o'clock this morning, right after I made the one call. I called him. I talked to him. He said, I'm going to see my dad, but he said, I'm going to try to get there. You know what? I know he's not saved. I tried to witness to him Monday. He said he'd come. And I said, oh, boy, I wish he'd come. You know what? He didn't come today, but you know what? I'm going to keep trying. Because I don't want that man to perish. You might ask people, but they didn't come. Go back again and again. I'm glad people came to me over and over. I'm glad even when I wouldn't come, people came to my house and came and got me. I'm glad when I could not come to him, he came to me. Father, help us to have a broken heart for lost souls. Help us to see that there are roadblocks to try to stop people going to hell. And Lord, the hell's enlarging every day. And it just seems like we hear this all the time, and so we get so accustomed to it that it no longer affects our soul and spirit. We know it's true, but we don't act upon the truth that we know. We have friends that we're with every day, and we never witness to them. We never pray for them. We have family that we love, yet we don't love them enough to tell them that they need to be saved and Christ loves them. Help us to be concerned today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Mark? Let me say this before we sing. Maybe if you've been saved, there might be people who've been saved, but you've never asked Christ. You've asked Christ to save you, but you've never been baptized. Why don't you get baptized today? Some of you, I bet there's more. I bet there's 3 or 4 or 5 people who have been saved in this church, and you've never been baptized. The moment you don't get saved by being baptized, you get saved by asking Christ to save you. But Jesus said the first thing that he wants you to do to show people that you really got saved, get baptized. It's a testimony. Hey, I've trusted Christ. It's obedience to his commandment. First thing he says is, get baptized. Show people you're saved. Make an open public confession that I'm your Savior. That's what it is. It's your confessing Christ to be your Savior. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to ready our hearts and ready our lives for you. And help us to reach people while we can. Lord, while there's still the roadblocks up there to try to stop people, help us to warn them. Help us to warn them of the roadblocks of hell. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. What page am I, Mark? 379. You come right now.